Fifth annual presentation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, produced by Orson Welles and starring Lionel Barrymore as Scrooge. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
When the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, your alternative to mainstream media. Broadcasting from Simon Fraser University at Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
This is Bird Note. Some birds are much more efficient flyers than others. They get more power out of each flap of the wing. Birds that capture their food with their beaks while in flight are the best flyers of all. But there's a trade-off. Feet have many uses, but for a flying bird, they're a drag, literally. So birds that pursue prey on the wing have evolved weaker feet than other birds. Just like with airplanes and rockets, reducing the weight of anything not needed for propulsion increases flight efficiency. Both swallows, which snatch flying insects out of the air, and hummingbirds, which catch their prey and gather nectar in flight, have weak feet. They can perch, but they can't walk. And swifts, the birds most highly adapted for flight, have such weak feet that they can't even perch. They can only hang by their long claws or shuffle a few inches. But in return, swifts can fly rapidly and efficiently, and they have great maneuverability. They and their close relatives, those hummingbirds, are the only birds that can fly straight up. That enables the swifts to exit chimneys and cavities in trees where they nest. Now that's an efficient flyer. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. Broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
Brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel, when a poor man came in sight, gathering winter fuel.
And now, back to the Campbell Playhouse and the fifth annual presentation of A Christmas Carol.
Stroke of one, Scrooge awakened suddenly and sat him bolt upright in his own bed. He remembered the words of Marley's ghost and wondered from which direction the second specter would appear. At that moment, nothing between a baby and a rhinoceros would have astonished him very much. Now being prepared for almost anything, he was not by any means prepared for nothing. And consequently, when no shape appeared, he was taken with a violent fit of trembling. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, quarter of an hour went by, yet nothing came. Then as he sat in his bed, he became aware gradually of a great blaze of ruddy light that seemed to shine upon him from the adjoining room. He got up softly and shuffled in his slippers to the door. It was his own sitting room, there was no doubt about that. But it had undergone a surprising transformation. The walls and ceiling were so hung with living green that it looked a perfect grove. And there sat a jolly giant, glorious to see, who bore a glowing torch in shape not unlike Plenty's horn and held it up, high up, to shed its light on Scrooge as he came peeping round the corner.
Come in, Ebenezer Scrooge, and know me better, man. I am the ghost of Christmas present.
Spirit, take me where you will. Last time I went against my will and learned a lesson which is working now. If you have anything to teach me, let me profit by it.
Touch my robe, Ebenezer Scrooge. Touch my robe.
Where have you brought me, Spirit?
To an humble dwelling in an humble street.
It's miserable enough.
Yet there is happiness there.
Who are these people? Who's that woman? And the children?
These are the family of your clerk, Bob Cratchit. See his wife, dressed in a twice-turned gown, but brave in ribbons, laying the table for their Christmas dinner. And there, assisting her, is her daughter, Belinda. And the young man with the fork in the stuffing, that's Master Peter Cratchit. And the two little Cratchits. Listen, Scrooge, and watch.
Here's Martha, Mother.
Now sit you down before the fire, Martha, and have a warm, Lord bless you.
Where's Father?
He's been to church with Tiny Tim. They'll be along directly.
How is Tiny Tim, Mother? Any better at all?
Sometimes I think he is. And sometimes I think, oh, dear God, if anything should happen to Tiny Tim.
Oh, Mother, you mustn't even think of such a thing.
Oh, here's Father.
Come in. Merry Christmas, everybody. Martha, welcome, my dear.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Father, and Tim.
Merry Christmas, Martha.
Oh, Tim, you darling. Oh, Father, I'm so glad to be home.
And we're glad to have you, Martha.
And how did little Tim behave in church, Bob?
As good as gold and better.
I like church, Mother. Oh, they sang the nicest songs. I hope people saw me there.
Saw you there? And why, Tim?
Well, don't you see? Because I'm lame. And if they saw my crutch, it might be pleasant for them to remember on Christmas who it was made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
Bless you, my son.
Are we ready to eat, Mother?
Oh, come on, yes, children, we're all ready. Come, take your places and wait your turns. There's plenty of stuffing and dressing and plum pudding for all of you. Martha, take care of Tiny Tim and see that he eats plenty.
Yes,
he must
Mother.
Get strong and well. Now sit down, everyone.
Yes, come on, Tiny Tim.
And now, my dears,
I see a vacant seat in the poor chimney corner. And a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved.
No, kind spirit. Say he'll be spared. Say he'll live.
If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, Ebenezer, the child will die.
And to praise thy name. Amen.
Amen.
And now, my dears, with such a dinner, a toast. A Merry Christmas to us all, and God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
And now to Mr. Scrooge. I'll give you a toast to Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast.
The founder of the feast, indeed, who pays you all of 15 shillings a week. I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast on, and I hope he'd have good appetite for it.
Oh, my dear, the children, Christmas Day.
It should be Christmas Day, I'm sure, on which one drinks the health of such an odious, stingy, unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge. You know he is, Bob. Nobody knows it better than you, poor fellow.
My dear Christmas Day.
I'll drink his health for your sake and the day's, not for his. Long life to him. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. He'll be very merry and very happy, I have no doubt.
And I say God bless him too, Mother, and everyone.
Yes,
to Mr. Scrooge.
Very well.
There was nothing of high mark in all this. They were not a handsome family, these Cratchits. They were not well-dressed. Their shoes were far from being waterproof. Their clothes were scanty and had known, very likely, the insides of a pawnbroker's. But they were happy, grateful, pleased with one another and contented with the time. And when at last they faded, Scrooge had his eye upon them. And especially on Tiny Tim, until the last. Many calls Scrooge made that night with a ghost of Christmas present. Down among the miners they went who labor in the bowels of the earth. And out to sea among the sailors at their watch.
dark, ghostly figures in their several stations. Much they saw and far they went, and many places they visited, but always with a happy end. The spirits stood beside sick beds, and they were cheerful. On foreign lands, and they were close at home. By poverty, and it was rich. In almshouse, hospital, and jail, where vain man in his little brief authority had not made fast the door and barred the spirit out, the spirit left his blessing. It was a long night. If it was only a night. And it was strange, too, that while Scrooge remained unaltered in his outward form, the ghost grew older. Clearly older.
My life upon this globe is very brief, Ebenezer. It ends tonight.
Tonight?
Tonight at midnight. Hark. The hour is come.
Oh, not yet. Not yet. No, there are still more things I wish to learn.
These you will learn from still another spirit. Still another spirit, Ebenezer.
Scrooge looked about him for the ghost. It had vanished. But he found himself once more in his bed, in his dressing gown, in his nightcap. He'd heard the clock strike. And then he remembered the prediction of old Jacob Marley, and lifting up his eyes, beheld the third spirit. A solemn phantom. Shrouded in black, draped and hooded, coming towards him slowly and silently, like a mist along the ground.
I know you. You are the ghost of Christmas yet to come. You'll show me the shadows of things that have not happened, but will happen in the time before us. Answer me, spirit, ghost of the future. Oh, I fear you more than any specter I've seen. Yet, as I know your purpose is to do me good, and as I hope to live to be another man from what I was, lead on. Lead on! The night is waning fast. Time is precious. Spirit, why have you brought me here again? Here to Bob Cratchit's home? It's not the same. Why is it so quiet? So very quiet here.
Mother. Mother, please.
Oh, my son. My little son. Tell him. I loved him so.
Mother, dear, you mustn't. It's almost time for Father to be home. Don't let him see you crying.
Yes. Yes, Martha. He's late tonight. He walks slower than he used to. Yet I've known him to walk very fast indeed with Tiny Tim on his shoulder.
So have I, Mother. But he was light to carry. And his father loved him so that it was no trouble. No trouble at all. Bob.
Good evening, my dear.
You're late, Bob.
I'm sorry, my dear. I went to the churchyard today. I wish you could have gone with me. It would have done your heart good to see how sweet and green a place it is. You'll see it often. I promised him. I promised Tiny Tim we'd walk there on Sunday.
Oh, Father, dear. It's God's will, Bob.
I'm trying to understand it, my dear. My son. My little son, Tiny Tim. And I loved him so.
Oh, that's cruel. Cruel. Spirit, can't you give me one ray of hope that I may change all that? That Tiny Tim may live? churchyard, overrun by grass and weeds, choked with too much burying, desolate, lonely, crumbling gravestone. Spirit, now before I draw nearer to that gravestone, answer me one question. Are these the shadows of things that will be, or are they the shadows of things that may be only? Will you not speak to me, Spirit? What is that grave to which you point? Now I see. There's writing on that stone. Name on the gravestone is Ebenezer Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge. Oh, Spirit. No, no, no. Spirit, hear me. I'm not the man I was. Why show me this if I'm past all hope? Tell me that I may change these dreadful shadows that have come, that you've shown me, by an altered life. I'll honor Christmas in my heart, and I'll try and keep it all the year. I live in the past, the present, and the future. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. Tell me, do, Spirit. Please tell me that I can sponge away the writing on that stone, Spirit. I beg of you, Spirit. 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 I promise on my knees. I promise. What's this? It's my bedpost. I'm home. In my own bed. In my own room. I'm the sun. The sunshine. It's clear. It's bright. No fog. Oh, what a beautiful day. Glorious. Glorious. Boy. Oh, boy. What's today?
What's that, sir?
What day is it, my fine fella?
Today? Why, it's Christmas Day.
Christmas Day! Ha ha! I haven't missed it. The spirits have done it all in one night. All in one night. Heaven be praised.
How's that, sir?
Listen, my lad. Do you know where the poultry is in the next street?
I should say I do.
An intelligent boy. A remarkable boy. Tell me, do you know if they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging in the window?
The one as big as me?
What a delightful boy. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Yes, my buck?
It's hanging there now, sir.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now go around, will you? And tell him to send it to Bob Cratchit and his family on Broad Street. And mind you, they're not to know who paid for it. Now hurry along, my lad. And here's half a crown for your trouble.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And a Merry Christmas.
And a Merry Christmas to you, too, my boy. Oh, I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather, as happy as an angel. I'm as merry schoolboy. A Merry Christmas. A Merry Christmas to everybody. A Happy New Year to all the world. Whoop! Whoop!
Next morning, Scrooge was early at his office. He went early for a reason. If he could only be there first and catch Bob Cratchit coming late. That was the thing he'd set his heart upon. And he did it. Yes, he did. The clock had struck 9. No Bob. 9:15. No Bob. Scrooge sat with his door wide open that he might see him come in. And at last he came. His hat was off before he opened the door. His comforter, too. He was on his stool in a jiffy, driving away with his pen, as if he were trying to overtake 9 o'clock.
8 and 17 are 15. Carry the 144. Carry the 231. Carry the 4. 8 and 6 are 14. Carry the 8.
Hello, you, Cratchit.
Yes, sir.
Step this way, Cratchit, if you please. Cratchit, what do you mean by coming in at this time of day?
Oh, I'm very sorry, sir. I'm behind my time.
You are? You are? Yes, I think you are.
Oh, it's only once a year, Mr. Scrooge. It shall not be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
I'll tell you what, my friend. I'll not stand this sort of thing any longer. And therefore, Bob Cratchit, I'm about to raise your salary.
Mr. Scrooge, are you quite yourself, sir?
No. No, thank heaven I'm not quite myself. Merry Christmas, Bob. Merry Christmas, my good fella. A merrier Christmas than I've given you in many a year. I'll raise your salary and we'll see what we can do for Tiny Tim and the rest of your family. We'll discuss it this very afternoon over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop. Bob, make up the fire. Make it up and buy another coal scuttle before you dart another eye, Bob Cratchit.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all, and infinitely more. To Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew, or any other good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. Some people laughed to see the alteration in him, but he let them laugh and little heeded them. His own heart laughed. That was quite enough for him. He had no further intercourse with spirits, but lived upon the total abstinence principle ever afterwards, and it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us, all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare his room.
You have just heard our annual presentation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, starring Lionel Barrymore. And now here is Orson Welles.
At this point in the program, ladies and gentlemen, it is my custom, as you know, to present to you with a few words of introduction our guest of the evening. With your consent, I shall dispense with this tonight. To introduce tonight's guest to the Campbell Playhouse audience or to any other American audience is an extravagant and superfluous procedure. For if ever an actor has won for himself a lasting place in the hearts of his fellow countrymen through years of unsparing and inspiring service, that actor is Lionel Barrymore. Mr. Lionel Barrymore.
Thank you, Orson Welles. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the fourth year I've had the pleasure of appearing in the Christmas Carol here on the Campbell Playhouse. And I assure you all, it's a pleasure that never tires. As long as I can remember, this has been one of my favorite stories. When we were children, it was read to us regularly at this time of year, as it is to millions of children right now. And like many of them, I'm sure, the three of us, Ethel, Jack, and I, with the aid of a sheet and some old ironware, made a play of it. As I remember, we had three Scrooges in that production.
Mr. Barrymore, who played Tiny Tim?
I think we had three Tiny Tims, too. But seriously, I can think of no part that I've enjoyed playing again and again as much as I have the part of that squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner, Ebenezer Scrooge. And I can think of no happier or more suitable choice for the makers of Campbell's soups to offer the people of America as their Christmas present each year than Charles Dickens' well-beloved story, Christmas Carol. Good night, Orson. Good night, everybody. And a merry, merry Christmas to you all.
Good night, Mr. Barrymore. Merry Christmas to you, sir.
This is Ernest Chappell saying thank you and a Merry Christmas to you all.
That was a wonderful, wonderful rendition of A Christmas Carol. Thanks to Lionel Barrymore and company. And I hope you're having a great day. I hope you continue to have a great day. And I will leave you with this wonderful local Christmas tune. See you next time.
Long lay the world in sin. The staff and volunteers of CJSF wish you a safe and happy holiday season.